Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Mike, always appreciate your time here on Halftime. How you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing good, man. Enjoying watching baseball. What's got most of your attention right now as far as Arkansas is concerned?
Well, it's a really tough time because you're keeping an eye on football started up. That's very interesting. Baseball had a great weekend. Basketball, another tough loss. I've said before, I'm not giving up. I realize a lot of fans have lost interest, but I don't know how to explain this, guys. A team that is in a hole like this one is and really doesn't have much to play for, you would think, that's out there battling the way they are, it grabs my attention because this is where you see a difference between fans and players. Fans want wins, and when they don't get the wins, and especially when it's a really bad year, they're just going to start letting go. But players still have to go out and play. And do they do what the football team did at the end of last year, last season, or do they do what this bunch of guys are doing, which is playing their tails off and not always winning? Two tough road losses that could have won both of those games. Just needed maybe one call that wasn't made at the end of the game. And I'm still interested in what they're doing.
That one ref, Mike, there was one ref that was just absolutely pitiful. Mike, my, and that's that you all valid points. My most improved player this year would be Mekhi Mitchell, just from where he started the year to how he's playing now. I think he's the most – who do you think is the most improved player on this team?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then, of course, Battle has come on lately, and he just keeps playing, and he's playing that little game where people want to know if he's coming back, and he says, I'm here, but he doesn't really say he's coming back. But I was on a high school football team years ago that just had a bad season, and we just never stopped. And the men around town, it bothered me because I grew up around those men and I really cared about what they thought. And they just quit on us. And all we had was ourselves. And we got it together and won our last four games and really stomped the fool out of all three of the last three games. We made a statement. No, we didn't go down in the books or anything. But we were happy when the season was over because we never quit. And that's why I like this bunch so much. I don't see any evidence that they're giving up.
You think in some cases their audition wouldn't be the right word, but like trying to make the right impression to potentially stick around, or maybe in some cases, like get a, in their eyes, a better NIL deal moving forward, you know, because I think a lot of cases you like drop the rope, you just don't care. Well, you got reasons to care if you want to play here or maybe somewhere else.
Yeah, there's a possibility of that. I mean, I'm not inside that locker room. I don't know for sure. There are people that trying to convince me that Musselman's in there coaching hard because he wants another job. And there are people saying, hey, these players, they want to go somewhere else. They know they got to step it up. And it could be that. We'll see. We've only got a few more days left because I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, there's not probably anybody that they would play. They have to win 5 in the SEC tournament. I don't think anybody they play is anybody they've beaten so far. But that doesn't mean they couldn't. They're not going to run the table. I just don't see it. And it doesn't look like people have tried to convince me that based on the numbers, there's no NIL or NIT possibility. I think it's a much greater chance that they just don't want to go to it. So we'll see how all that plays out. And then, you know, sometime next weekend when it's all over, we'll see what happens because things are going to start. We're going to know some things pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to kind of ask next a little bit is what does this team need to do in the offseason? What type of player, who do they need to get better to go to be able to be back to a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team?
Yeah, they got to get a couple of bigs, I think. So that's where I'd start. I still think they need some kind of strong power forward, and I'd take another point guard, you know. So that's where I'd go. And then, you know, a lot of that depends on who comes back.
Right.
And so, but we know that they don't have any bigs left. So you got to believe if Musselman's here, that's where his target is. But again, I'd like to see, you know, a 6'8 power forward guy that can rebound and battle when he has to, even if if two bigs are on the bench with fouls or something, he can still go out there and defend the paint. Somebody like that. And then you really need two solid point guards.
Hey, Mike, have you had a chance to watch much football practice? You know, I love that they're opening football practice a little bit more here in spring because I just don't want to go by the sound bites. you can't believe everything that you hear.
Sure.
You can believe your eyes. You can believe what you see. Have you had a chance to see much?
Yeah, I've seen enough, and it is different from a year ago. The first thing that I would notice is that, and this goes back years and years, when you've got a new coordinator and you're putting in a new offense, usually the first two or three practices of the spring, there are a lot of busted plays. Wait a minute, back up. Let's start that over again. Coaches yelling, come on, line back up. And I haven't seen any of that. Not only that, but they're going at a pace. I mean, they're just lining up and boom. Run a play, boom, run a play. And I'm not saying everything's perfect, but they're not screwing up. And the top two quarterbacks, Talen Green and Malachi Singleton, are completing about 70% of their passes. And what I'm impressed with is sometimes even when the passes are off target, we've seen some receivers really make some pretty nice catches. There's some decent speed at wide receiver position now. And then, you know, they got a freshman running back from Benton. That guy is just, everybody's looking at him because he weighs about 250 and he looks like he runs a 4.4. He may not, but he looks like he does. So all of that's pretty impressive. The thing, honestly, that's just, I'm looking at it and I just look at it and I go, what does that mean? And it's Petrino because he's not what I was used to. This guy had that BMFP moniker for a reason. He was a bad guy, you know. I mean, he'd get after you in practice. Anybody that ever watched his practice will tell you. And he's just laid back, teaching, patient. You see smiles on his face, and I'm going, who is this guy? What is happening here? But they're having fun right now, it looks like, and I don't see any problem with that. You know, people have said, well, you shouldn't be having fun after practice. Well, they're doing some things with Hog Plus, and they're setting this stuff up, and, you know, these guys are not last year's guys. There may be some carryover, but they got a right to be their own team, and I don't think they should have to just sit there and act like yeah, we're ashamed. We've got to prove we're better. I think they'll be better. I think the attitude is better. But you're right, Phil. You just can't. What I'm looking for is that first scrimmage, and I think it'll come this weekend. When you see actual tackling, offensive line versus D line, what running backs can do to get open, can they get, is a guy going to get 5 yards or 18 yards? What about the quarterbacks? You know, how are they going to handle that? And how's the secondary with the receivers? So because we're going to be allowed to watch the scrimmages, I think we'll know more than we did last year at this time.
Hey, have they started using their headsets? You know, will these headsets be on in the scrimmage? And does a defensive player, is it offense only on the headset communication?
Well, that rule hasn't passed yet. I think they're going to vote on it next month. But everybody, Sam Pittman said it's going to pass. Everybody pretty sure that it is. And from what I understand, yeah, there'd be one. The quarterback would have it on offense, and then the consensus seemed to be that probably one of the linebackers would have it on defense. It's interesting, and I don't know that they're going to. They do have the helmets. I've heard that discussed. Whether they would use them, go ahead and try it out, I don't know, but it's an interesting question. Here's the interesting part. There'll be somebody controlling that. I'm assuming it'll be part of the crew. You know, I don't know if it's a ref, but somebody like that, and they'll be and they shut it off at 15 seconds on the play clock. Well, what if you start snapping the ball with 15 seconds left? That means your Bobby Petrino could be talking to the quarterback right up until the ball is snapped. I can see an advantage to that if you're going want to go tempo anyway. And then you know that if you don't go below 15, you never shut that thing off, you know, before the ball is snapped. I think that would be very interesting to see how that works.
That's my question. Surely, as soon as the ball snapped, they shut it off too. Like there's
yes.
Okay.
They do that, but the point is, it doesn't go off automatically or you know until it drops below 15 seconds. So if you snap the ball quicker, you know, you're lined up. A defense is lining up to face you. And Petrino's, if he's upstairs, I don't know if he will be, but if he's up there, he can see that and make a correction right before the snap.
Hey, Mike, Jimmy Smith going over to TCU. It seems like this is something that must have been in the works for, I don't know, for who knows how long, but I don't think this was like a surprise to them the day that this came out. You know, they've got Colby Smith apparently ready to go as the new running backs coach and had worked with Bobby Petrino before. What sort of an effect do you see this having? I mean, it is sort of sudden to happen during spring ball.
Yeah, I don't know if some people have suggested they told him to leave. I don't see any evidence of that. I don't think they were unhappy with Jimmy Smith. He was a good recruiter. I think maybe he was looking around. The one guy on this staff that I've been keeping an eye on and have told people you don't want to lose him is your tight ends coach because that guy is really good, mm-hmm. and he's still here. So I think what we're seeing is Petrino is surrounding himself with people that he's familiar with. Now he's going to have two guys there that he's worked with before, and Pittman's basically working with your O-line coach. So I think all of that is good. If you watch Petrino before, what I've told people is, in effect, he really was the wide receivers coach, the running backs coach, the tight ends coach, because he had control of everything. There might have been a guy in that room with them, but we all know who was controlling everything. And I still think you're going to see it work that way. And at least in two cases, he's got somebody he's familiar with at the running back position and the receivers position. And I think those are the most important two in terms of making this offense work. So I got to believe he's comfortable. And that's, I think, what Sam Pittman wanted. I think he wanted to do two things. I think he wanted Petrino to understand, I'm not going to interfere with your running of the offense. I'm going to let you do it. And I'm going to let you have people that you need, that you feel like you need to have. So it looks pretty good right now.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Championship week underway and Selection Sunday coming up on Sunday. I guess it's a little bit of a bigger week than usual, right, Neil?
Oh, without a doubt. Just as a side note, on Saturday was our biggest college basketball betting day that we've had. I think it may have just edged out what we did on the first day of the tournament. The main NCAA tournament last year. So, you know, the last day of regular season, you know, especially mainly SEC, there was a few that went over on Sunday. But, yeah, if that bodes well, we're going to have a big week, and then the week after that is going to be even bigger. So, yeah, the magic of the tournament time is my favorite time of year, especially from a bookmaking perspective, because unlike the Super Bowl and the national championships and things like that, we don't have all of our eggs in one basket, so it's a little bit easier to mitigate our risk. But each week that gets a little tougher as the teams pare down as we go to the different weekends.
Well, we've got an Arkansas team that's in action today, Arkansas State, going for a Sun Belt championship. That's James Madison -5.5 today, but also some Red Wolves boosts. We're usually talking about Razorback boosts.
Oh yeah, we try to do them all the time, and the boost that we like to do on those is we usually do the spread and the over, because that's the most popular bet that people do, and usually when you put those together, you're only going to get like 2.5 to 1 on your money, and I think we've got this one at +300, so you're getting 3 to 1 on your money. If you're $100 better, that's about a $50 extra payout on your $100 bet, so that's pretty significant. And that's why you want to use those specials if that's what you're going to bet. And then, you know, we've already got prop games up, prop action up for tomorrow's baseball game. And we've already got the first props up for the Arkansas versus Vanderbilt in the first round of the SEC. Don't have the lines out quite yet for those. Those will probably come out early in the morning and the morning of those tournaments. Probably get the SEC one Wednesdays out late tomorrow afternoon. But a lot of people are looking ahead to that. And, you know, looks like the Hogs, if they're going to make the dance, they're going to have to run the table. And that's a pretty, pretty tall order. And heck, you know, anything can happen. It's sports.
I know last week Bet Sarazen had a pretty major update, and you open up the app, you can tell the difference in the feel and the ease of the app immediately.
Yeah, it took a little bit longer. It was kind of funny. Usually our updates, we start about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we try to have them done by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning at the latest. This one was quite significant. It was a huge software update, which gave us a lot more capabilities. The one that people are really recognizing the first is the bet slip that pops up out of the bottom. So it's easier to make your singles bets and your in-game betting. And then when you make a parlay, instead of having to decide, you know, flip a switch, is this SGP or same game parlay available? As you make your selections, if it can be same game parlayed, it automatically puts it in that menu for you. And if it's not, if it's only qualifies for a regular play, it will put those combinations and build them for you, so you don't have to keep putting stuff in and out of your betting ticket to decide which you're able to bet. It does it right there for you, and we've got a huge reception over that also. And there's a lot more features tied with this upgrade that we're going to be rolling out as we go. And you know, it took us a little longer. We didn't get the app back up until like 5 minutes before the baseball game. We took a little heat for that, but boy, once we downloaded it and people downloaded it and started using it, they forgave us pretty quick. So I guess it was okay.
Well, there's a couple of stories out there that people – well, one of them, I guess, is just hearsay, potentially from a former Vanderbilt quarterback, Mo Hassan, who I think also played at Southern Cal. He said he was offered, what, $300,000 to try to throw a game by the, quote, Italian mob, unquote?
Yeah, when he went to go get a drink at a bar. So, you know, that's an unusual story. But I think he was the backup quarterback and took 17 throws the entire year or the entire season. That's interesting, but they will follow that. Now, you know, with sports betting that we've got, you know, we've got U.S. integrity. And if the athlete, and it's all over the athletic departments, if the athlete ever has approached that, of course, they can tell their athletic department or the coach and all of that, but they have a way of doing it anonymously. And U.S. Integrity has something called Athlete Alert, which is powered by Real Response. Basically, is you can scan a barcode on a website, or you can do an anonymous text. If you're an athlete or an athletic department, you can do a 100% anonymous tip if anybody approaches you as an athlete to do anything, whether you're a pro athlete, a college athlete, or whatever, and you can do that anonymously. There's the resources out there. That one right there's, you know, I know it's hearsay, but it'd be interesting to see if there anything comes to that. But a lot of people are shooting that one down already.
Well, and then there's another story about, I guess they've shut down any betting lines on Temple basketball and Loyola Maryland, also involved in something with the Maryland Lottery and Gaming Control Agency.
Right.
But, I mean, so there's the details of these stories and all of that, but there's also the idea of just like what you're talking about, and we got into this with the Alabama baseball betting scandal, is the system is working, you know, because these games are being flagged, and you can't put money on these teams if there's any question that there's something that's not right that's going on. So, I mean, the whole point of this is, yeah, I mean, you kind of expect that these things might happen, but you've got a system in place to try to shut down the real problems.
Absolutely. And that's why it is very, very important that, you know, we've had a huge expansion of sports betting throughout the state. Throughout the state. But what I like to tell people is that sports betting is not new. Just legalized sports betting is what is new in all of these states. And now that we have it, you know, out and transparent and out in the open, we're able to collect the data. We're able to use the technologies that we have to be able to identify this. I don't think the expansion of gaming is causing, you know, more scandals. It's just that we have technology and ways to find it now. And you know, some people are saying, hey, maybe we ought to stop doing player props on college. I know the NCAA's done that. and a couple of states are taking a step back. But the flip side to that argument is that if you do not offer those college props, they're going to go to either, you know, the black market to do it or go back to their, you know, to their regular bookie to do that. And then if something's going on, you have no way to track it, you know, have no way of identifying it. So, you know, that's the best thing that I like to tell people out there is that the integrity of the games are very, very important to the sports book because we operate on very, very, very thin margins, especially, you know, against the spread and on the money line and the over and unders. And if there's any information out there that skews a game one way or to another and gives somebody an advantage, you know, that can really, really hurt us. But the biggest thing is that with things like Pro E-Bet, which allows us to identify people who are not supposed to be wagering because they're associated with a league or a sports team, and how we are able to correlate and track all of the betting and see if there's anomalies. I mean, we got alerts as soon as that thing moved, and we kept the market open and let it flow. We didn't have a problem in Arkansas. We took all of $110 in bets on that one game that was in question. So, you know, nothing's really, really happening here. But if a line does move like that and bets come in, boy, people are looking at it, and the computer algorithms are able to identify. And they're even able to determine, hey, did that line move because an injury announcement came out? Hey, you know, that is normal. But on this particular one, there was no announcement that came out, and the line just moved by itself. And that's always going to raise some flags there.
Neil, we'll just wrap up with something that's happening in about a month. You know, if you got the NCAA basketball tournament coming up, well, that means the Masters can't be that far behind and the rest of the golf majors. You got all of them up here on futures bets. So, you know, now with BetSwap, this is, you know, you want to get in on those sort of things. So if you want to trade or sell your bets, you can do it with some time, with some leeway.
Absolutely. You want to go ahead and do that. And you got the Players coming up this week too. And that, you know, famed 17th hole, that Island Green there, we'll put up some specials last year. We'll put up a few more, here this year for that one too. So we like to have fun with that one. And with golf coming on and, you know, don't forget, soccer across the pond is getting kind of fired up right now too. So, it's a great time of year, but, you know, I got a feeling over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be real heavy on college baseball and basketball around here.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99. Proper 12 Apple for $29.99. Single Malt for $38.99. Blended for $28.99. Jameson Orange, 750 milliliters for $25.99. And for 1.75 liters... $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and Five Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
We haven't even come close. We've frustrated because we know that we get everybody healthy, trying to figure out who to play a little bit. You know, left field's kind of been up and down, and, you know, Lovich has done a nice job, and, you know, Jones has hit some home runs, and Edmondson's, he's had his moments too. Center field's been a little frustrating because it's really good defense, but not much offense, and we feel like there's more there. You know, we won a lot of games, and we haven't played great. We played good. We pitched really good. We know the hitting's going to get better as we get more at-bats. And, you know, you guys just gain a little bit of confidence.
I think a lot of people will take what happened this last weekend at Boehm Walker Stadium with a grain of salt just because it's a McNeese State pitching staff that is not an SEC team. But numbers are numbers. Results are results. They hit 331 last week with 40 runs scored in four games. That sounds pretty good. A couple of run rule wins, seven home runs. Just seeing better at-bats, too, from almost everybody. Vahiva Aloy getting much better at-bats, becoming much more selective, laying off that slider, even if it's a strike because it's the pitch that the pitcher wants him to swing at. He's been laying off of that. Ben McLaughlin turned it on, had a great week, eight base hits. Starting to see a little more crystallization to the 1-9 lineup, especially with Peyton Stovall coming back from the broken foot. It's a surprise that he was in that lineup on Saturday in the doubleheader. But yeah, he was going to get out there on Sunday. He said, why don't you just go out there and play on Saturday and just be a DH? What better way to test a broken foot than by legging out an infield single in your first at-bat? And seemed to be just fine. Hits a home run in the second game, and he looked great. But getting Stovall back at second base, not just as a hitter, as a fielder, I think will do wonders for this team. Because if you think about Stovall as a hitter, he's a good second baseman. And there is a specific part of playing that position which right now Arkansas has not been very good at. And it's turning the double play. Peyton Holt, Jared Sprague-Lott, and Nolan Souza have gotten most of the time at second base. It's mostly been Souza of late and Holt earlier in the season. And a lot of games recently, it's Nolan starting and Holt finishing off at second base. They've kind of struggled to turn the double play, which has been a hallmark of this program for a long, long time. 15 games, only five double plays turned. Some of that's also because you got a pitching staff that's striking out 15 batters a game, so there's fewer pitches put into play. But they're also struggling turning that double play, and the most important part of it is the turn of the double play. Souza's had some trouble with that. Dave thinks he's more of a shortstop or a third baseman. And I think Peyton Holt is probably a little bit more of a third baseman. I think he'll get a chance to play some outfield. Stovall's a second baseman and a good one. He can turn that double play. It will do wonders for this team when Stovall is back playing second base. And he's going to help solidify the lineup. So it has been years where at this time of the season, we're just worried because players are dropping and starting to get injured. Last year about this time was right about when Cody Frank went down for the rest of the season with a muscle injury. It was a month before that that Jackson Wiggins went down for the entire season. At this point last year, it was fairly obvious to those who knew that Stovall's shoulder was really bothering him and it was going to be a thing that hampered him at the plate and in the field. There's none of that going on right now. You're getting players back. You're getting Stovall back. He swung the bat great in these three games. They got Dylan Carter back from the Tommy John surgery, and he's throwing 94 to 96. There, and Ben Bibee, I think, will come back sometime soon from mononucleosis, but that takes a while to get your strength back. They're getting stronger right now at places where they probably need to be a little bit stronger. Bullpen's good. Another arm like Carter, that can only help. The fielding has been good, but it can be better. And getting Stovall back at second base, I think, is a huge step forward for that.
So left field, I guess you're saying there's kind of a battle there. I got a question for you. I like baseball players to be athletes and to be action stars. How many stolen bases do we have this year? Do we got any speed on the bases at all this year?
This is one of the crazy things about it. I'm glad you brought that up. I would have never thought that a Razorback baseball team would have more steals than home runs. They do right now. I don't know how long that'll last because they had seven home runs in the last four games. The power's starting to pile up. 15 games, 16 home runs, 17 stolen
bases. How many
bases.
Of them were against Grambling, though, I guess, when they were throwing 48 miles?
I think was it four or five?
Yeah,
They had a few this weekend against McNeese.
Okay, all right.
They're guys that aren't missing their pitches now. Aloy is one of them. I mean, Matt, he had a home run Saturday on a ball that he was sitting on, 470 feet. I thought we were just short of 470 Ooh. Feet. He had another one Tuesday that went 450 feet. He's not swinging and missing as much. Like the whole narrative of he can't lay off a slider. He's, you know, getting himself into bad counts. That really wasn't the case this last week at all. He was much more selective.
When's the last time Arkansas has had a shortstop that could hit for power?
A lot of times you do. Like, Battles hit for a little bit of power. You know, Bolton last year wasn't really much of a hitter. Casey Martin hit for a lot of power in the year he played shortstop in 2019. But Aloy, I think, is a better shortstop than Casey. I think he was a little miscast as a shortstop, just had trouble with some routine plays. But I think Aloy is also, he's got a little bit of that Casey Martin in him in, well, all right, so here's a different way to put it. In 2019, we all remember Casey Martin flailing at sliders in the dirt, and he just couldn't lay off of it. So the same thing you saw with Brady Slavens the last couple of years on changeups. Even when I think he knew it might have been coming, he just couldn't lay off of it. What I saw the last four games from Vahiva Aloy was a batter who stuck to a plan, who wasn't going to swing at the slider until he had to, until there were two strikes and he had to protect the plate in certain circumstances. I think he took a step forward last week, both in terms of production and in terms of approach. There's some folks who want to wonder whether or not you got to take him out of the lineup. No. He's one of three guys who's played every game. I don't think he'll come out of the lineup at all. He's important there. I think he's the best shortstop on the team fielding wise. And certainly I think he can be a real difference maker at the plate. But Ben McLaughlin has also played all 15 games. McLaughlin's a guy that makes a difference both in terms of production at the plate and in the field at first base. I think he saved 5 to 6 errors. And then Kendall Diggs has played every game because he's a linchpin in the lineup. So I think now there's a fourth player who won't come out of the lineup, and it's Peyton Stovall. I think we've sort of, you know, lost in the conversation that the team is not hitting the ball as I think they expect, or like Dave expects, or like anybody expects, is that they didn't have potentially their best hitter in the middle of the lineup, or not even the middle of the lineup, because Stovall hit second a little bit more this last weekend, and I think they're comfortable hitting him second. So now I think you got a lineup that you kind of expected to go into the season with. Stovall can be a special hitter. I mean, a really special hitter. He can protect someone who's in front of him, and he's going to be on base for somebody behind him. I think this will give more RBI opportunities for Kendall Diggs, and that can only be a good thing. That can absolutely only be a good thing. Got Steve, who's on the McLarty Daniel hotline here. He's in Ozark. Steve, how you doing today? What's up?
I'm doing good, Phil. I just had a quick question about the pitchers. I was trying to figure out how they're getting their signs now. I don't see them have a wristband or anything on, but I see them, you know, pushing the buttons on a catcher's knee. But I didn't know if they had like an earpiece or.
Yeah, there's an earpiece for the pitcher to wear. They've got the watch too. I talked with Hudson White about this. All the catchers call their own games, but they have the pad on their knee. And the pad, it's the same thing in the major leagues. It's the fielders that can wear the watch. I think the pitchers can wear it too if they want to. But there's a voice that says, this is the pitch that you want to call. It's kind of fun to think. I think you can reprogram the thing so you can put anybody's voice in there. I'd like the idea of Dave Van Horn having a voice in there and be like.
No, you got to go like Biggie Smalls.
Or, ooh, even better.
Yeah.
But there's a problem with
James
that.
James Earl Jones, maybe?
I don't think you can get
hear
Biggie.
It.
Well, you can't get Biggie Smalls to record it anymore. It's a good point. I forget about AI.
Yeah.
I love the idea of James Earl Jones, though.
So I guess it doesn't get too loud, but you want to hear the pronunciation, huh?
Well, if you can get Morgan Freeman to give you directions or read on your Amazon Alexa or whatever, then you can have James Earl Jones tell you throw a fastball. I'm not even going to try. I can't do a good James Earl Jones. It won't work. Moonlight Graham.
You made me laugh, though. So there we go.
Moonlight Graham. Did I answer your question, Steve, or did I just veer off into goofiness there?
No, that was perfect. I just kept trying to figure it out because I just never seen them really look up, and I've been looking for earpieces, but I haven't really noticed one. I thought I seen one the other day, but that's what I was kind of thinking. Answered my question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, they've got it, and you know, he also told me that the earpiece and the way that they're delivering, and I can't even say signs anymore. I'm so trained in my mind to think, well, he takes the sign. It's not a sign. It's a voice. he's being told what to throw. It works perfectly in tandem with the pitch timer. I mean, think of how many times you saw a pitcher there that might have struggled to see the catcher's fingers. I mean, there's a reason why catchers would paint their fingernails for night games, because their fingers would get lost in the crotch. Not like that. You guys are gross. I mean, because you couldn't see because of the lights. But now you don't have to worry about that anymore. The pitch cum works perfectly with the pitch timer. And you'll note, like, I've seen, I don't know how many games I've called this year, but there's been 15 games. I don't think there's been, I think there might have been one pitch timer violation this year. By this time last year, there were probably double digit. The pitch cum works perfectly in tandem with the pitch timer. And the other thing about catchers at Arkansas, they call their own game. Matt, you realize how different that is from like every other college baseball program? The head coach or the pitching coach calls the game, calls each pitch. At Arkansas, it's the catchers that call the pitch. They learn what they're doing. They develop, and I think they like playing here because of that.
So that's very uncommon is what you're saying?
It's completely uncommon in college baseball. Totally uncommon. That's why he had a Louisville pitcher shouting at his pitching coach 2 weeks ago coming off the field telling him, hey, I got four pitches, because he only called one of them over and over and over again. He also used a very special word in between I've got four pitches that you can't say unless you're standing in a closet screaming it out loud. A little disappointed he didn't listen to The Doors over the weekend. He watched the movie, but hey, that's one of the things about music. It doesn't take that much effort. All you got to do is throw it on in the car and you'll be set. We'll figure out something else for him later on this weekend. But I'm thinking a little bit like Pink Floyd and Dark Side of the Moon for our friend Matt. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like Pink Floyd.
Do we have to do it in a laser show? Do we need to go with a laser show for him? Because I've seen Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon in a laser show like maybe 58 times.
How cool. Yeah, no, Pink Floyd, I celebrate their entire catalog. They're fun.
They're lots of fun.
The Doors are fun too, though. I like The Doors better than Pink Floyd. So yeah, come on, see music. You got
too much baseball going on.
There you go.
Weekend.
There you go.
I had to listen to the baseball game.
I'm glad you watched the movie, though. I'm glad you that's Oliver Stone at his finest.
See what I did there, Phil?
He had to listen to every baseball game. He was sitting. He was literally sitting there on edge, listening to every single word that Bubba and I said, instead of listening to The Doors. Well, that's true. You can't listen to two things at once. It doesn't work very well. So you remember. Now, I won't ask you like multiple guess on what we said this and there. We had fun on Saturday. 7.5 hour broadcast for a doubleheader, and had a blast doing it too. People are like, how do you do this? What is, like, are you all right after you do? It's like, I'm born for this, man. Bring it. Bring it. I watched five straight losses by the women's basketball team. So, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to do some baseball after that.
It's true. It's always nice to win too. It's yes.
Well, I think that makes it a little easier as well. You know, what would it be like? I wonder what it would have been like if Bubba was with me for the 2016 season, where they lost their, I think it was last 13 games, didn't even make the conference tournament, finished dead last in the league, and it was just a bummer. I don't know. Bubba and I get along so well. But some of it has to just be because there's good feelings around, because the team usually plays so well. He might have actually done something vicious with that bat if he was around for 2016. Did you ever do? So there is this thing. If you do the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon, there is a thing about Wizard of Oz. You heard about this, Matt?
I've heard about it. I've never partaked.
The idea or partook. Is you start the album. I think you start the album when the lion roars.
Yeah.
Not the cowardly lion, but the lion in the MGM circle before the movie
mascot.
Starts.
Yeah.
You try to start the move the album when that lion roars, and then it's supposed to be like the movie and the music go together. So I tried it once. I'm not sure if it felt like it worked, but it might not have been because of the movie and the music that it didn't work.
And I thought when it was first done, it was set to, you had to have the record player the way you did it. And so the timing might be a little off too.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it was when it was set, it was, you got to have the vinyl.
That's exactly what it was. We got Dutch and Fort Smith here on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Let's take Dutch's phone call.
Thanks.
Check out some other, what's up, Dutch? How are you?
Doing well. Thanks. How about you guys?
Great. Thank you.
I was just at a, Razorback Club, men's, well, usually all men, luncheon. And, Matt, we talked about your, comment from last week about not getting horse collared.
Oh, yeah?
You remember your comment, man?
What happened? Talking about,
I'd asked it. Am I right about this, Dutch? I think I asked you if you've ever been horse collared. You just said no one was ever fast enough to do that.
Yeah. I was just being funny.
Yeah, we were discussing the speed because the walk-on kid from Northside there, Katsavis.
Is he pretty fast? What's he run? What's he got? What's he been timed?
Well, I don't know. I should ask. His uncle was there with us, but they said that he's already on third string and getting lots of reps. But he left the A-State to go there and walk on. So hopefully he's got
Good
future.
Luck. Heck yeah.
What's the goal?
Peaky Blinders.
We
were discussing that as well, and it's pretty much consensus. It's better than Yellowstone, better than Ozark.
Now, I've seen every episode of Ozark. I liked Ozark. Jason Bateman's, he's okay.
I needed the subtitles for some of Ozark, too.
It did get a little out there. You're like, come on now. But it was all right.
Well, I strongly encourage you to watch Peaky Blinders, Matt. I'm about to watch the first
All right,
episode.
I'll check it out.
The text line is blown up with that exact sentiment.
I'll try to get to it sometime before baseball season's over.
All right, everybody. If he had a choice and you had to watch one or the other and he couldn't watch both, because you haven't watched The Sopranos yet either, right? Sopranos?
I haven't seen The Wire or Sopranos. Not a single second.
Whew. The Wire, Sopranos, or Peaky Blinders? I would go with Sopranos, Dutch. If I had to watch one of those three, it'd be Sopranos. How about you?
He
hung up. Oh, he's there. Going once, twice, gone. I don't know if he realized I was asking
every
question.
Seen every episode of Breaking Bad. Have you seen?
Love
is that up
show.
There? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would put that on that same conversation. If you had to pick one of them, which one would it be? Sasquatch says The Wire over The Sopranos. And here's a Big Mike listened to almost every 2016 Razorback baseball game. That was a tough season to call. But I'll tell you, Mike, that reminded me of like more than half of the minor league baseball seasons I worked where there was no hope. You just showed up knowing you were going to lose and just wondering how it was going to happen. But those were 140 game seasons instead of 56. So, man, by the time you got into July, it was like, what are we doing here? But I appreciate you listening to every one of those games because it really wasn't all that fun to do it. Sopranos, The Wire over The Sopranos, either one of those two I think would work for you. Free agency is going to kick off on Wednesday, Matt. I guess they're calling it the legal tampering period
for
frenzy. Free agents.
Yeah.
It is a frenzy because there's all sorts of signings that I guess you can't necessarily like announce them yet, but you can at least have a source that says this is going to happen. Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, going to sign 4-year contract with the Raiders. Titans are signing Tony Pollard to a 3-year deal worth $24 million.
Who's their other? You said something about that. Who's their other back? Because is Derrick Henry going to walk, but he hasn't signed with anybody yet?
Yeah.
Did they sign him to be a complimentary?
I don't think they've signed anybody.
I don't think they expect him back.
I like Pollard. He needs somebody else. He needs to be in a two-back system.
Yeah, he's too much of like a finesse running back. I mean, that there is a place for that. I mean, he's explosive, but it just doesn't. I mean, if he's not breaking out long runs, he kind of goes stagnant.
I guess it's also trade requesting season. T. Higgins wants a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. The Broncos traded Jerry Jeudy to the Cleveland Browns.
Broncos are cleaning house, huh?
They are cleaning house. You're right. New quarterback, new top receiver, though I'm not sure Jeudy, you know, necessarily worked out the way that they hoped.
Who's going to be the quarterback for Cleveland? They got better when Watson got out. Joe's going back to the couch, huh?
They're paying him too much.
Deshaun's going
to
be the guy.
Too much to not play. Yeah. I don't know if they have a choice. Flacco played so much better than he did in the regular season. But I guess Flacco, does he go back to the couch? Or if you're him, you know, how do you handle something like this? Because he didn't just play well. He won them some games heading to the postseason. So you just sit around and wait? Or do you do what he did last year? You know, do you sign in free agency now or in a couple of months? Or do you wait? until it's obvious that a team has to have a quarterback, and then you can sign, you know, you're going to go play.
It seems like he's kind of like a Drew Bledsoe almost at the end of his career. He doesn't want to go somewhere and be a backup. Like he'll come in and he'll do it if he's going to start, you know, but if he, I don't think he wants to go through the motions, or because he doesn't want to go through the grind of a whole season to not play.
Yeah. Well, at this point in your career, I mean, you kind of have that luxury in some cases. You're a known quantity, you know, if you're 23 or 24, you know, and you're a free agent, something wrong happened. If you're in your late 20s, you know, I think you still got to show that you're healthy. I think Flacco showed that last year. So it'd be interesting to see what he does with this. More text coming in. Sopranos, Sopranos, Sopranos. And Jason likes Peaky Blinders because they get really good. Yeah, they have really good music on that. It's like heavy metal or hard rock circa 80s, 90s into the 2000s with scenes that are taking place essentially after World War I, you know, the late 19-teens or the early 1920s, and I like that contrast. It is a fun show. It is a really fun show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Connor O'Gara's got a lot to tell us, though, from Saturday Down South about college football. We appreciate his time on a Monday. Hey, Connor, how are you?
Gentlemen, doing really well. Can't say that I got into the Billy Joel catalog as a kid. My parents were not the biggest on Billy Joel, so I'm not very well-versed. But I know the hits, but I cannot say that is my area of expertise.
Well, I celebrate his entire catalog, Connor, so if you ever need a little help with that, I'm here for you. That song comes from the album An Innocent Man. It is Billy Joel's salute to 1950s doo-wop music and stuff like that. It's really good. It's a banger, one through, I think, nine songs, so I'd recommend it for you.
All right. I'm going to add that one to the list. It's a long list. Haven't necessarily had a whole lot of time to dig into my alternate music taste lately, but you know, I'm gonna add. If you say Billy Joel is good, Phil, I'm taking your word for it.
If you say Billy Joel is alternate, I'll take your word for that too. You're watching. You're obviously into spring football right now, so we got our spring games coming up in like a month or so. So you know, we have more access now. Alabama's given more access to media. Sam Pittman's given more access to media. I don't know about the other situations around the SEC. Maybe some are following suit. But in some cases, you don't necessarily just have to take the coach's word for it and a soundbite, because there's more media inside the inside there now. So, I think that's a step forward. What have you thought about, in Alabama's case, opening up practice and to be able to talk to the assistants more?
What a crazy concept. I was of the belief that if media ever got access to college practices, that we were going to provide play-by-play analysis for every other team in college football of what those teams were about to do. We were going to release all of their secrets. We were going to share them to the world, and then they would therefore fail as a direct result of having media access. It is pretty crazy thinking about how different the NFL and college are when it comes to that, but seeing a place like Alabama actually have an open practice for media and having coordinators available to talk, like, these are different times that we're living in. I'm old enough to remember when I covered Nebraska, when you could talk to coordinators after a game. Like, they were part of this media scrum, and you could talk to coordinators about play calls after a game. And that's at Nebraska, a place that's super, super prideful. I don't know if they've gotten away from that, but gosh, I mean, some of these things that we're talking about here, it's a reminder that there is no paranoia like the paranoia of a college football coach. So it's nice to see some of these programs realizing that they don't have to exist in that bubble to be able to succeed.
Hey, Connor, I want to ask you a question about the draft. Is that running back from Michigan? Is he going to get drafted? Who's a couple of running backs that are moving up the draft boards?
Yeah, Blake Corum's a stud. I mean, he's an absolute stud, and I don't know what exactly his NFL future is going to be, because it feels like this running back class doesn't really have the top-end Bijan Robinson guy to begin with. Once upon a time, I was telling myself, maybe Rocket Sanders could be that guy in this class, and then obviously it just was a lost season for him. But I feel like that's kind of the case as we talk about running backs to begin with, and there are so few that get that rare distinction. But Blake Corum, man. Like, I don't know what more you need to see from that guy to believe that he just kind of gets it. He and Cody Schrader both. I don't know if they're going to be drafted before the third round or anything like that, but you just know what you're going to get with them from the jump. You know that the mindset is never going to be in question. You know that they're going to be the ultimate guy to kind of have in your locker room. And I think that if you look at this running back class and try and find that late round value, which is what everybody tries to do, I'd be going after two guys like that. And I realize they got some miles on those legs, but man, Blake Corum, I think there are a lot of Alabama fans going, gosh, if we could have only found a way to stop that guy down the stretch, this could have been a much different ending for us.
Now, was getting into some of with the Mac Jones trade, you're looking back at that 2021 draft for quarterbacks, and there's only one starter left out of them, and that's Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I'm assuming Justin Fields, wherever he goes, may have to compete for playing time, but we don't even know where he's going to go. For this year's draft, I don't know if I hear a lot about Spencer Rattler. There's a lot about, you know, the names that you know about: Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, McCarthy's moved up the boards. Spencer Rattler didn't necessarily like win a ton of games, but there are moments he looked like a pro quarterback. I think he could have success in the NFL.
I got something that Arkansas fans aren't going to want to hear, but I got to say it. Arkansas would have been so much better off with Dow Loggins as their OC as opposed to Dan Enos. And I'm not breaking news by saying it, but it's a reminder that was a really nice hire for Shane Beamer. And I know the final record doesn't necessarily show a team that got better offensively, but if you watch South Carolina and you saw the improvement from year to year with Spencer Rattler, it was so noticeable. And the job that Dow Loggins did developing him it makes me feel a lot more confident about their quarterback situation, despite the fact that it's really unproven with Lenore Sellers and Robbie Ashford coming in from Auburn. But, man, like, they had so many limitations, like Arkansas, just a terrible offensive line that you couldn't really do much of anything with, and it's kind of hard to scheme when your offensive line's a train wreck. Deuce Wells was out pretty much for the entire year. He was expected to be their best offensive player. But the job that Dow Loggins did developing Spencer Rattler, you're right, it was super undernoticed. I think he's going to end up being a mid-round pick. He was the Shrine Bowl MVP. Like, this is a guy who played better than Bo Nix. Not the Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl, rather. He played better than him and just kind of showed a lot of people, like, this is a guy where if you miss out on that first or second tier of quarterback in the draft, I think somebody's going to get Spencer Rattler in the mid-rounds and be like, wow, this guy actually might have a chance to eventually be our starting quarterback one day.
Hey, how many of these Michigan Wolverines are going to go in the first round? I know they're talking about setting some type of record or having 18, 19 guys drafted. But realistically, you know, who are the guys that are going to go in the first round?
I mean, that's a good question. Because I think McCarthy does end up going in the first round. Who knows if, like, a Roman Wilson will. I don't think Corum will. They have a defensive guy or two that will. I don't think it's so much about the first round number. Like, they might only have like three first rounders, but the depth is just the thing that you're looking at going, oh my goodness, that's crazy. And Jim Harbaugh has been talking about it for a long time. And I kind of scoffed at him when he said that he thought Michigan was going to break Georgia's record for most players selected in the modern draft era record. Georgia had 15 in the 2022 draft. This is only counting, you know, the draft since went to seven rounds in 1994. But I think Michigan's going to break that record. Now, I'll take it a step further. I think the Big Ten is going to actually have more guys drafted than the SEC. As crazy as that is, because it's 17 consecutive years of the SEC winning that title, I think Michigan fuels that. I really do. And I think that it's like the last year that we can really talk about this, because the Big Ten is going to have 18 teams next year. The SEC is only going to have 16. It's all over the place. But the Big Ten having the most teams kind of makes it a little bit unfair. But Michigan's going to be such a big part of that. And you're going to look at this class going, wow, okay, I get why they won a national championship and why they were able to beat Alabama en route to doing that.
I'm interested to see what Jim Harbaugh does in the draft. You know, how many Michigan guys he takes as well.
If Jim Harbaugh doesn't draft Brock Bowers at five, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be really upset because, you know, like, their use of the tight end, it just kind of makes a lot of sense. And with him coming off the year that he did, where he finally showed that he was a human being and he could actually get injured, I still think that he finished his career as the best tight end that we've ever had in college football. And if that guy is sitting there in the middle of the first round and not taken at that fifth spot by Harbaugh, or, you know, taken at nine by my Chicago Bears, I'm going to be really, really upset. So I do find myself hoping that Harbaugh just, like, you know, gives me that little bit of satisfaction knowing that somebody that good should be drafted that high. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Like, how awkward does that become? Like, you're obviously not going to go out and get a J.J. McCarthy when you have a Justin Herbert. But, yeah, every time Harbaugh takes a Michigan guy, it's going to be like, oh, geez, wonder where exactly he got the intel on that guy.
Connor's got a column that appears in Saturday Down South from 3 days ago titled "The Realistic Path for 2024 to Not Be Sam Pittman's Last Season at Arkansas." Connor, you can explain. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, I think there are four coaches in the SEC, Pittman being one of them, that are just kind of in a really difficult spot, an uphill climb wherein their jobs could be very much on the line. And it's very well known that their jobs are very much on the line. But I do think that there is a world in which you can go 7-5 if you're Arkansas, with the way that the schedule shakes out, how home friendly it is, and you can still see Sam Pittman getting a year six. Now, that'll be easier said than done. I don't think that's a guarantee. But the way that I kind of mapped it out, I was like, all right, you got to get to that first bye week at 3-3. Remember, there are two bye weeks this year. And that means winning one of the following games: at Oklahoma, at Auburn, against A&M in Arlington, or home against Tennessee. You have to win one of those. I'm not saying you got to win multiple or anything like that. But if you can win one of those games, which I think the two more realistic ones, I think home against A&M, or not home against A&M, but, you know, in Arlington against the Aggies, year one, Mike Elko, is realistic. And then at Auburn, a team that's been herky-jerky all over the place so far with Hugh Freeze, I think that's realistic. And then you just need that. You need that home upset. That's the biggest thing. Like, think about this, guys. I was going back to the last time that Arkansas won a game at home against a Power 5 team where temperatures were above freezing. So that rules out the Ole Miss game at the end of 2022. You have to go back to that South Carolina game early in the 2022 season to find that example. That Power 5 team that Arkansas beat at home and temperatures were above freezing. Arkansas fans deserve better. They deserve better. And if the optics are really bad down the stretch and if they don't pull off one of those home upsets, then obviously, you know, it's going to be a really difficult road for Sam Pittman to be able to get a year six.
I mean, you had a group of five loss at home during that time, too, to Liberty. And you know.
And he, Phil, to Connor's point, Sam Pittman usually does win one road conference game. I mean, he beat Floyd even last year. They beat Florida.
Year, right.
Yeah, like the home upsets, you got home against Tennessee, home against LSU, home against Ole Miss, home against Texas. You have to get one. You have to get one of those games. Because I think that so much of this is going to be about optics. And as much as Hunter Yurecek is going to go to bat for Sam Pittman, I mean, that's why he's back. Another AD probably would have moved on because of how bad the optics were. I think that's such a big part of this conversation. And I do find myself optimistic that Bobby Petrino is the right guy to be able to turn around the offense because I think he was better than people realize at A&M. And even when once you sift through all of the history associated with that, you realize this guy still is a really good offensive mind and an upgrade over Danny. You know, not saying much, but still. And then, you know, being able to give those home fans something that's worth cheering about is such a big part of Sam Pittman's future. And I think it's something that we'll be talking about a lot this season.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.